Welcome to Harvest Worship Center, a study in the Word. Today we're in message number 14 of an in-depth study on love. Pardon me, that's message number 15. And the title of today's message is Let Everything You Do Be Done in Love. That ought to tell us something. I could just sit down and shut up right there. You know, let everything you do be done in love. Hallelujah. That goes along with last week's message on the love commandment, that ye all may be one. Father, we thank you for this time together today in the Word. We thank you for the privilege we have, Lord, of coming before your throne this morning. You have opened your door to your heart, and we give you praise for it, Lord. We humbly come in and receive from your Word today, that Word which you prepared from the beginning for this moment in time. And Father, we thank you that as this word is received, as it's planted in the soul of our heart, that it will bring forth an abundant harvest. Not just a one-time harvest like a plant does in the natural, but an eternal harvest, an ongoing harvest, a continuing harvest. And we thank you so much for it, Father. We give you praise for this day and for all that lies ahead in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
As the title said, let everything be done in love. Everything that you do. So we're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And it simply says that. Naturally, I'll be using the Amplified Bible for the most part, and I think for this lesson today, for all of it, unless I state otherwise. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 14. Let everything you do be done in love, true love to God and man, as inspired by God's love for us. I like that last part the Amplified adds. True love to God and man. You know, there's an artificial love. There's sometimes we can pretend to love, or we can think we're loving. But then when the pressure comes on, we find out it's not God's agape love. It's just surface love when the time is convenient. When things are going my way and it's comfortable and there's no pressure on it. But you know when your true color shows is when you're under pressure.
Yeah.
When things start coming out of the side and you were not aware of it, those suddenlies, which were not suddenlies at all, which had been growing. There's no such thing as a suddenly. Everything has a process, and as it grows, it eventually it manifests. So all of a sudden, this thing is in your face that you were not prepared for. Or you should have been, but you were not. And now we'll find out what your colors really are. And you can be so strong in love and genuine love and still mess up. Thank God for his mercy and grace.
Amen.
Thank God that we can run to 1 John 1:9 and say, Lord, I blew it here. I blew it here. And I thank you for your mercy and grace. And I ask your forgiveness. And Lord, show me if there's anything that I need to do with that person to change this or to help them. Or if there's anything I need to do, you show me what it is. Guide me by your Spirit and teach me how to respond in this matter. But Lord, I thank you for your forgiveness and restoration. And instantly when you walk away from there, whether you feel like it or not, you're forgiven and made right with
Amen.
God.
Thank
Let's
God.
Take him at his word. He forgave us before it happened. When we ask forgiveness is when we receive it. So let everything you do be done in love. So as I'm walking through my life, what should be the thing that I use to decide whether I'm right or wrong should be love. And it's God's idea of love, not man's. Man's idea of love and God's idea of love are two different things. They're not the same. God's idea of love is literally laying down your life in that circumstance.
Yeah.
You taking the hurt, you taking the on the problem. You let it lay. You don't worry about what you look like to others. You do the loving. You do the mercy. You respond the way God would respond, the way he responded to us.
Amen.
When there was no one believing in him, no one was with Jesus. Even God turned his back on Jesus and the Holy Spirit left him when he was on that cross. He was alone, period. And he still took on everything for us. That's why he did it. That's the kind of love we're to have. We're not to hold an offense. We're never to yell back at that other person. We're to take it from a loving standpoint. Take no account of a suffered wrong. And think the best of that person, even though your mind says otherwise. So even those times, let everything you do be done in love. That's the thing we use to gauge whether we're walking right here or not. What is my response in this circumstance? Well, what's the love angle? What's others centered here? And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, similar. And whatever. So one thing said, 1 Corinthians 16, 14 said, let everything. And Colossians 3, 17 says, and whatever you do, no matter what it is, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and in dependence upon his person, giving praise to God the Father through him. And whatever you do, what are you doing at the moment? Whatever it is, no matter what it is, no matter what it is, in word or deed. The Amplified says word or deed, and I like that because I can be doing something in word but not following it with a deed. Or I can be doing a deed and not following it with a word. So it basically what it's saying is covering every area of your life. Whatever you do in word or deed, whatever you're speaking, whatever you're thinking, whatever your action is, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus and in dependence upon him. Can I do what I'm doing in this moment in his name? Or would he agree with what I'm doing? Is his blessing upon what I'm doing? Is his favor upon what I'm doing? Is he smiling and joyful at what I'm doing? Is it benefiting that other person in some way? Is it a self-sacrifice? You know, the most important sacrifice you can give God is not really your money, it's yourself.
Yeah.
The laying down of your life for him. Then he takes that life and he salts it because you're doing that. Okay, so, and whatever you do, no matter what it is, this should be one of those scriptures that we have posted everywhere, on the windshield of our car, on our television set, on our computer, on our refrigerator. Be the first thing that comes up when we open our phone. You know, whatever you do, no matter what it is, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and in dependence upon his person, giving praise to God the Father through him. So if what you're doing you can't praise God for, don't do it. If you can't do this with love in your heart and praising God while you're doing it, don't do it. It's just that simple. So God's made this thing so simple. We make it complicated. Well, should I do that or shouldn't I do that? Is God with me here? Isn't he with me here? He never leaves you nor forsakes you, so he's with you. He may not be pleased in what you're doing or how you're doing it, but it's your choice to make. And he will back what you do. So that's ouch. He will back what you do. So now let's look at Philippians chapter 2. Fill up and complete my joy by living in harmony and being of the same mind and one in purpose, having the same love, being in full accord and of one harmonious mind and intention. What's that talking about? That's talking about being one, like we talked last week. The love commandment, that they may be one. That was our subject last week. That's what Paul is bringing out. If you really look at the depths of Paul's letters, what he's teaching, that's what he's teaching. That, and his letters go, do this, don't do this, this is not right, this is the flesh, this, all he's talking about and all of that, when you put it all together, even when he goes through the book of Ephesians in the beginning and he talks about all that the Father did, And then at the end of it, he talks about putting on the armor of God. Everything Paul's talking about in all of his letters is wrapped up in this one verse. He's talking about love. He's bringing the message of how to walk in love. Fill up and complete my joy. So this is something that Paul wants. This is something that Paul desires deeply. And why? It's because of that meeting that Paul had with Jesus on the road to Damascus. It's because of the time he spent alone with God. The time that he spent alone with God before he even entered into his own ministry. It's because of what the revelation that God gave Paul. When God gave the revelation of the Last Supper, of the communion covenant meal, of when he gave him that, he gave him the image in God's heart of man and God and each other coming together as one. Everything that Paul taught in all of his letters, he was bringing this one verse up. Mm-hmm. The center of every teaching Paul ever made, and really the apostles, is summed up here. Fill up and complete my joy, Philippians 2:2. By living in harmony and being of the same mind and one in purpose, having the same love, being in full accord and of one harmonious mind and intention. You look at his letters carefully. You look through his letters, and with that in mind as you do, you'll see that. That's what he's talking about. He's either talking about how to come into one, what it is, how to be in love one with another, or he's talking about what prevents that. He's talking about giving you tips to avoid, things to change, to become one, things that hinder us in our walk. Keep that in mind as you read the letters of Paul. Notice how it lines up with last week's message, living in harmony and being of the same mind and one in purpose. Isn't that what Jesus prayed? That's what he prayed. And last week we brought up Matthew chapter 18, where it talks about being in unity in prayer. Being in unity whatsoever, where two or more agree, is touching anything. That's what Paul's talking about here. His letters is teaching us how to do that, how to be in harmony one with another. And you can't just decide to do it. You can't, that's part of it. Deciding to do it is part of it. But that's not all that's involved. Now that you decided to do it, you need to keep that decision alive. You need to protect that decision. And then you need to start walking that out. Making decisions that protect that. That's part of one of our messages we talked about, guarding our heart above all that we guard in Proverbs chapter 4. That's what we're talking about. All of these messages, 15 so far, we're all talking about the same thing. How do we do this? What is love? That's why we're doing an in-depth study on love. Because we as human beings, we separate things out. We divide things up. Even when we teach, we'll do a subject on faith. Then we'll do a subject on love. Then we'll do a subject on the Holy Spirit. Then we'll do a subject on the end times. Then we'll do a subject on the beginning. And then we'll go into creation. And we'll go from one thing to another. But it's all wrapped up right here.
Yeah.
We leave out the love factor a lot of times. It's the source of everything. Everything leads back to there. And you'll never have a complete, full understanding of yourself, who you are, who God is, who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is, and who the world, the flesh, and the devil is. You'll never have a complete understanding of that till you start focusing your study on love. When you focus your study on love, when you focus your study on that, then revelation comes in the other areas. Then you can start bringing things together to see the heart of God and see through His eyes. Now, we will never, ever, no matter who we are, get to the place we have full understanding. But according to Ephesians chapter 3, it's available to us. We can. That's one of Paul's prayers. that will understand the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height of his love. If it's prayable, if Jesus put it by the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit put that in God's heart, if the Holy Spirit put that in Paul's heart to pray, and if Holy Spirit anointed, then it's possible. It's possible to come into that kind of understanding. But we can't do it at all unless we put our feet to our faith. We cannot ever walk in love till we do it by faith. We can't walk in faith till we do it by love. They're all connected. And we can't fully understand who we are in Christ without understanding that God is love, and as he is, so are we in this world. It is a commandment, and God made it a commandment. And if we're not walking in love, we're in disobedience. And what did I say some time back? We're also abnormal. Because normal for the Christian is to walk in love. That's normal. Anything other than that is abnormal for the Christian. It's not abnormal for the world. So we need to remember that. Okay, Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. And above all these, put on love. And enfold yourselves with the bond of perfectness, which binds everything together completely in ideal harmony.
What verse?
Colossians chapter 3, verse 14.
Oh, I was.
And above all. Now, in Proverbs 4, it says, above all that you guard, guard your heart. And in Colossians 3 here, it says, 14, and above all these things, put on love. Notice you've got to put it on. Love is abiding in us by the Holy Spirit. When we get born again, love comes in. Because the Holy Spirit comes in. His spirit and our spirit merge as one. We're born again. We're living together as one. That's what happens when you get born again. Love is there. The fruit of the Spirit is there. But we have to choose it yet. We still have to choose to love. We still have to put our feet to our faith, our feet to our love. We have to make the decision of it, on it. Well, I'll love him when he loves me. No, that's not what it says to do. Your walking in love has nothing to do with what the other person does. It has absolutely zero, zero to do with what someone else does. It only has to do with what you do. You cannot gauge your love walk or decide whether or not you respond in love based on what the other person does.
That's right.
That's not in the commandment. The commandment is that you love God with all that you are, and your neighbor as yourself. That's the commandment. That's the two top ones. But when you do the first one, then the other one falls into place. When you love God with all of your mind, all of your heart, all of your spirit, all of your ways, then the other one kind of just falls into place. You're going to love your neighbor as yourself.
Amen.
Because you're loving God. But there's no place in there that it says you respond according to what's done to you. That's not involved. It has nothing to do with anything where you're concerned. You respond in love no matter what. And when you don't, that's when you run to your Father who is love, and you get cleansed from all of your unrighteousness. Not to walk in love is unrighteousness. It's not righteous. You cannot walk in righteousness till you walk in love. You cannot walk a holy life till you walk in love. Because walking the love walk is holiness. It's the only way you can get to that place. You can't get to it by works. You can't get to it because of what you do religiously. There's no way to get to holiness there. You have to walk the love walk to walk a holy life, because God is holy. Be ye holy as I am holy. If God is love, the being, then love is holiness. It's the only way you can get there. So love needs to be the top priority above everything that we do. It has to be involved in every thought, every purpose. Now, I know I'm talking, and some people say that's not possible. It is, or it would not be a commandment.
Amen.
Whenever God gives a commandment, He gives you the authority, the ability, the right, and the and everything that's required to carry that out. That comes with it. He never tells us to do anything that He's not given us the authority to do. He never tells us anything that He's not given us the power to do it and the ability to do it. He does not do that. He always gives us the right, the power, the authority, and the ability with the commandment.
Amen.
And on top of that, love Himself lives in me and is one with my spirit if I'm born again. So He's empowering me to do this from the inside out. The lover lives in me.
You just have to get used to the idea.
We got to get used to that. One thing, we've got to believe it. If we base our love walk on what we've done in the past, or what other people do, or what people say, or even what other people in the church say, we're going to fail. This is a personal relationship between God and I, between you and God. And when that relationship between God and I develops, my relationship with you also develops.
Amen.
We can't put qualifiers on this. There's only one, and that's to walk the love walk. Anything else is just not right. It's abnormal. I want to be normal, and I can't, I keep hearing me say this, but it's something that I need to hear. I can only do this in my now moment. I cannot love in any other moment of my life until I get there. My responsibility is for this moment. And then for the next one when it gets here, and the next one for when it gets here. My responsibility as far as my past is concerned is to be forgiven by my Father and receive what He's already done in my life. To come to Him with my old man, which died, by the way, when I got born again, with everything I've done since that time, and ask His forgiveness, believing I receive, and let the Word of God cleanse me. That's my responsibility where the past is concerned. I'm not responsible to change any of that. I learn from it. I use it to correct me as the Holy Spirit teaches me by my past, not because I'm white-knuckling it through there and demanding myself to change. I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal the places where I need to change, to fill me with His presence and knowledge and wisdom and revelation. I'm allowing Him to deal with my past. The only responsibility I have right now in this moment is to love walk right now. And if I do that, everything else falls into place.
Amen.
Because God is love. And that's the commandment. And that's what Jesus was teaching just before He went to the cross. We talked about that last week. That's what He was teaching in 13, 14, 15, and 16, was how to walk in love and why and what's involved in it. And then He prayed it, believing for it. So we receive what He prayed as we pray the same prayer. Because God did it. God took care of that. He made the provision. And that's why the Holy Spirit came. So we can do this. When it says, above all these things, put on love. And enfold yourself with the bond of perfectness. Which is, what's the bond of perfectness? Love.
Amen.
That's why He said it, to put it on. You put it on and you wrap yourself in it. So there's nothing left of you outside of that garment that you just put on. You put on love and enfold yourself in it, and then as you walk through your life, love is pushing the other things away. And you're influencing not only yourself, but others around you.
Amen.
Because you have made your decision. In this now moment, right now, I'm walking in love. You know, there's not a lot of decisions to make in one moment, is there? I just got maybe dealing with one person or dealing with one situation. Well, I got all this other stuff going on. It'll take care of itself when you get there. Right now, don't fret about that. Don't worry about it. Don't be concerned about it. If God shows you something in your now moment related to that, do that. If he doesn't, receive peace right now for when that time comes. But he's putting your building blocks in your now moment. And if you're concentrating anywhere else, you're missing those building blocks. Mm-hmm. You're going to miss what he's putting in your now because you're going to leave it in your past when you leave this moment. I'm going to step from this moment into the next moment. And if I haven't used that moment to walk in love, I left some of that stuff back there. I can't go back and get it. That it's just that you can't change your past. You can't go back and get anything from the past.
Amen.
That's why this now moment is so important. Now. Jesus even said, don't be concerned about tomorrow. Tomorrow has problems and issues of its own. Concentrate on right now. Just be the best love walk you can be.
Amen.
In this moment. Then when you step over into your next one, do the same thing again. And when you look back, instead of seeing issues and problems and fear and worry and depression based on all of that, you're going to see the love walk. And you're going to see how God used that walk to lift you up and put you on higher ground. And how things and people changed around you because you walked in love in that moment. Now when you step into this moment, some of your harvest from that moment comes up. It's awesome. There's so much in this that we don't get because we don't spend any time on it. We don't spend any time on it. We will take that now moment and do our jabbing because we got jabbed at. And when we leave that moment, we've left all of the good things back there. We have nothing to build with. But the enemy has built a stronghold because of what I did in that moment. So either I'm building a stronghold of fear, worry, and depression in this moment, or I'm stepping into the next moment with fruit and harvest from that last moment to build good things in this moment. So think about it. What do you want in your next moment? What do you want there? Well, make your choice because that's what's going to be there. Even if you say, well, I want love in my next moment, but you're not doing it in this moment, you're not going to have love in that moment. So just think about it. Again, it's not based on what anybody does except you. You're the only one that determines what's in your next moment. God doesn't determine that. He's put everything on the table for you to pick up and use. But if you don't do it in this moment, you can't use it in your next. You've got to use what the provision is there. In that moment. So take care of this moment. Take care of what you do, the decisions you make. Be careful how what you do. Enfold yourself in that love and let that be the determining factor. Well, man, I just don't have the strength for that. No, you don't. But he does. That's why his spirit's merging with your spirit. He's your strengthener and teacher and helper. So just concentrate on that and believe God for what you need in this moment. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3. Be eager and strive. What's that mean? It means you want to do something. You want this. You know, if you're really eager for something, don't you strive for it? Or are you just eager for it and just sit there? Boy, I want that ice cream cone. It's in the kitchen. Man. Will you go get that ice cream? No. Go get your own ice cream cone. Oh, man. I don't want to do that. But if you want that ice cream cone, you're going to go get it. Or whatever it is. You want a pizza. Do you? I want a pizza. Well, what are you going to do? You're either going to make one, you're going to go get it, you're going to do something to get that pizza. I don't have the money. Well, pretend that you got it, but get yourself a pizza. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 3.
I'm sorry.
So be eager and strive. If you really want whatever you're wanting in your life, you're going to strive for it. Amen. How much do you want peace and rest and joy and good things in your life? How much do you want that? Are you willing to strive for it or to work at it? You know, the majority of the problems we have is because we don't do nothing.
That's right.
We don't do anything. We let things come as they come. Well, I'm living in a now moment. Whatever here, I'll deal with it. No. You're going to have more problems in your now moment than you ever thought possible. Because they're going to be based on what you didn't do or what you should not have done in your past. That's what's in your now moment. Because you just sit there. Well, if God wants me to walk in love, He'll do it for me. No, He won't. He wants this to change. He'll change me. No, He won't. He will not change you. He will do whatever you command Him to do. Whatever you not command, that's the wrong word. Whatever you request of Him and you put your foot to it, that's what He'll do. He will do whatever you choose to do. That's what He'll do. But He's waiting on you. All the time you've wasted waiting on God.
Well, I've been praying for that for 25 years. You've been telling me I'm wrong?
Your prayer is not wrong. The desire is not wrong. But you're not doing anything with the word itself. At the same time you're desiring for this to change, you're not willing to walk the love walk. You just fly off the handle whenever things are convenient for you to do that. Matter of fact, you may even enjoy flying off the handle. There are people that like getting mad. They like that rush. They like to prove they're masculine. No, they're not. They're wimps. They're wimps. It takes a man or a woman to love.
Yeah.
It's not simple to love. It takes power. It takes determination. It takes somebody that's going with God. It takes somebody that is willing to lay down everything they have to love someone anyways. Mm-hmm. To not have that hedge up. The minute somebody says something wrong to me, drive up that hedge and then charge forward with the sword. I got the sword of the Spirit. No, you got the sword of anger.
Carnal.
Got the sword of carnality. You don't have the sword of the Word because you're not walking in love. The sword of the Spirit does not work without faith. And it does not work without love. They will not work. Matter of fact, the whole armor is based on love. If you want to wear that armor of God, you're going to have a love walk to go along with it. Because every single piece of that armor is based on love. Because God is love. It's His armor. If God is love, what's His armor? You know, we're talking all the time about spiritual warfare. Well, the very first thing you better do is perfect your love walk.
Right.
Or you're not going to be successful in your love, in your spiritual warfare. Every single piece of spiritual warfare, everything you do towards the enemy has to be based in love. If it's not based in love, it's going to fail. Will not be successful. So you choose how successful you want to be. If you do not focus on love, there's a lot of areas of your life that's not going to be successful in. And you'll blame God for it.
Mm.
Or quit. It won't be God's fault because you didn't take your weapons off the table. Didn't do anything with it. Okay, so Ephesians 4, chapter 3.
What?
Ephesians 4, verse 3. Sorry. Be eager and strive to guard and keep. So what are we eager and striving for? To guard and keep.
Mm-hmm.
That's Proverbs chapter 4 talks about guarding your heart above all that you guard. So be eager and strive earnestly to guard and keep the harmony and oneness of and produced by the Spirit in the binding power of peace. We just talked about being enfolded in love. Well, when you enfold yourself in God's love, you walk in peace. If you're not enfolded in love, you will not walk in peace. You'll be walking in fear and worry and depression, anger. You may have some times when there's no conflict, but peace is not an absence of conflict. Matter of fact, peace normally brings some kind of conflict. But your feet are firmly shod. And whatever that conflict is, you'll approach it with love. Because nothing overcomes love.
Amen.
Love never fails. Perfect love casts out fear. We talked last week about the force of love. From a love flows into the person, and then it flows out. True love never stays, it always flows. It's constant flow of love in and out. And because it's flowing in from God and out from you, that love from you pushes away fear and worry and depression and anger. Its force pushes it away. That's why it says, he that keeps himself, that wicked one touches him not. How do you keep yourself? You guard yourself, like we're talking here. You guard yourself with love. It sounds hard to our carnal nature, but honestly, once you start doing it, it's like little dominoes. They all fall into place.
Yeah.
Because you eliminate a lot of your problems. You eliminate anger because you're walking in love. You eliminate fear because you're walking in love. There's no fear in love. You're walking in love. There's no depression. You have nothing to be depressed about. You're walking in love. God's your fullness.
Amen.
Your marriages are completely revolutionized because you're walking in love. And it may be difficult for a little while because that partner will not like that. But eventually, they cannot overcome the love you have. Your love will overcome the separation. All of a sudden, they love God too.
Amen.
Because they see it in you. It's not based on what others do. It's based on what you do. And perfect love, the love of God flowing in and flowing out of your heart, flowing out, pushes away depression, fear, and worry.
Amen.
It pushes it out. It can't come in. The force is too great. Perfect love casts out fear. Love never fails. Be eager and strive earnestly to guard and keep the harmony and oneness of and produced by the Spirit in the binding power of peace. Then he says in verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, just as there is also one hope that belongs to the calling you received. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all, sovereign over all, pervading all, and living in us all. So where's the separation? There isn't any. That's what Jesus prayed, that they all may be one, that the world may know. We're supposed to be revealing that right there to a hurting world. We're supposed to be the light to a hurting world. We're supposed to be teaching the world how to love because they see it in us. And we're busy loving them. If your sphere of influence is not very big, love those in it. And then God will expand your sphere of influence. I don't know how he does it, but he does it. He sovereignly connects people.
Yes.
He will do that. He will do that because he wants this to happen. This is God's idea. This is why the cross right here. This is why, that they may be one. That's all God's doing. He's not, from the moment of creation, when God's heart spoke, when he spoke the first words of creation, that's what he was doing. When man was created, we were created to be one with him.
Yeah.
And Adam was. You know, when he fell, there was a separation there, but then the cross came along to make us one again. That's so awesome. He's not doing anything else. And that's what love is. Love always connects and joins. Love never separates. I need to remember that. If I'm trying to separate, I'm wrong. And I can tell you, I said it last week, I keep saying it because I keep seeing it. The moment you identify with one group, you separate from the others.
No.
You cannot be one and separate. You can't do that. Now, you may not go along with what they do, may not agree with what they are, but you cannot separate from them because we're called to all the world. And that's everybody. And the cross was for everybody.
Yeah.
Past, present, and future. It was not for a certain race, a certain color, a certain nation, a certain religion. The reason those people are in those other religions is because they don't know Jesus.
That's right.
They don't know who he is. None of them, they might teach being kind to one another, but they don't teach love the way love is because they don't know it. They can't teach what they don't know. And if they started knowing this, they wouldn't be in that religion. They'd be Christians. Because there is no other way. If there's only one God and one Father, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Holy Spirit, then there's only one way.
Right.
And that's Jesus. No one else died for us.
That's right.
And it wouldn't matter if they did die for us. It wouldn't have worked. Because they were under sin. It had to be somebody not with sin. There's only one, and that's Jesus. He's the only one that became the sacrifice. Perfect love hung on that cross. Perfect love went to hell. Perfect love rose from the dead. Perfect love received us. Is that the way it is? I read one more verse. I got four verses here to read, but I'm not five verses, but I'm going to focus on two. Six verses, I'm going to focus on two. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Now, it's tied to the verse 3 through 6 we read earlier in Ephesians 4. And Paul just got done talking about the fivefold ministry and its purpose and how it is meant to build up and mature and teach the body so that they can go into all the world. But here's what it says in Ephesians 4:15. Rather, let our lives lovingly express truth in all things, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly, enfolded in love. Notice it's enfolded again. Enfolded in love. Let us grow up in every way and in all things into him who is the head, even Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. For because of him, the whole body, the church, in all its various parts, closely joined and firmly knit together by the joints and ligaments with which it is supplied, when each part with power adapted to its need is working properly, in all its functions, grows to full maturity, building itself up in love. So as we do this, every joint receives certain things. I receive things that you don't have. You receive them from me. I receive things from you that I don't have. But when we're walking in love, we're knit together, as it says here. We're enfolded in love. When I enfold myself in love and you enfold yourself in love, the two of us merge, and then there's one big enfolding between the two of us. We're walking in love.
Amen.
We're going to be different. We're going to think differently. We're going to act differently. We're going to speak differently. But we're one. And if I yield to you, you're going to be yielding to me. We're becoming one. We talked about the marriage last week a little bit, about those two, three glasses. But we're merged as one. He does that. And notice here it says, firmly knit together by the joints and ligaments with which it is supplied. if I'm supplied with something, it doesn't mean I make it.
Right.
I'm supplied what I need to knit to you. I'm supplied that. God gave it to me. And as I walk in love, He's going to continue to give that to me.
Yes.
I don't have to make myself fit you. I got to yield myself to Him and to you, and I'll fit.
Yeah.
Like those Chinese finger cuffs. I like those. Yeah. On Star Trek, Data gets some of those. You know who Data is? He gets his finger stuck in some of those. He can't get them out. At the end of the movie, he's trying to get his fingers apart. Because he's stuck, you know. The more you pry against them, the more you try yourself, the tighter they get. Now, I don't know how they work, but they're funny. But if you rest, then you can take them off. And that's the way we knit our hearts. When we rest in Him, when I determine to walk in love with my Father, and I yield myself to the love that He has for you, and I love you with His love, then we're knit together. But if I make myself try to, that's carnal and I'll miss it. I make the decision. Amen?
Amen.
Well, Lord, we thank You for this time together in the Word today. We're out of time, and I just wish we had eternity, which we do. But, Lord, I thank You for this Word we received today, because we know that it's from Your heart to ours. And in this now moment, Father, we choose to walk in love. We choose to do this. And we ask You, Holy Spirit, to strengthen and to encourage and to empower and to reveal to us in each moment that follows how we are to walk in love and what that means. Thank You for bringing revelation to us, because we know that You answered the high priestly prayer of Jesus. You answered that because it was Your own word spoken through Him. It is Your desire. And so, Father, we agree with that we may be one, that the world may know. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, Greg is staying home.